Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Welcome to TMOS Extra. I have not started a show yet on the Mike O'Mara show. Rob or Mike is normally always here, and this time it's just me because I want to share with you, the Mike O'Mara show family, a little bit more about the Soroka family and our passion for the Baltimore Orioles. So I asked my dad and my brother to join me tonight so we could have a little conversation between a father and his sons who bleed black and orange, who were raised that the Orioles are like family and part of our family. We have memories, things that were bad, things that were great, and we've experienced all this together. So let me get them on the phone right now and share with you the two guys that I still fly back to Baltimore a few times a year to attend baseball games with.
Good evening. Now, I know it's a hot night and you all want to get to the baseball. So as soon as I throw this sucker, grab a drink, enjoy the game. Best of luck to both teams. Oh, scratch that. We're at Camden Yards. Go Orioles!
So all right, John, so you called us all here together for what purpose?
All right, so here's the deal. So this started as I said I'd do a little 20-minute podcast for the Mike O'Mara show because we've been doing these extras where we just talk about things completely off topic, whatever. And I said I would do one with Matt, kind of talking about our excitement for the Orioles this season.
Okay.
But then today I was thinking, well, it makes more sense if we get together and instead talk about how the Orioles are like important to our family, because that's a little odd to people, and they know individually we're all big Oriole fans.
Yeah,
but it takes a little too much of our, it's a little too much of a priority sometimes. With baseball season starting this week, I wanted to bring my dad and my brother on and kind of talk about the Orioles and how it's become more than just a fandom for us and is kind of part of our family. So I've got Matt and John Sirocco on here. They've both have been a little bit on Mike O'Mara show in the past. And guys, thanks for doing this with me.
Sure.
I think now Dad was on the Mike O'Mara show before I was, which a little bit bothersome to me, but I'll let it go.
Man, I think you have to let it go.
Well, that's part of
you can't redo history.
Well, that's part of them trying to figure out why I dropped my G's and the listeners being obsessed with it.
Hey, so, who got a better reaction from the listener? Me as a guest or Dad as a guest?
I don't remember. But the latest request I saw on Facebook was a listener posting that they can't wait to hear from Mama Soroka.
They
want Gigi on this. There. So
all right.
I haven't invited her yet.
I'd rather listen to Gigi than Dad or myself. So.
Yeah, you got my vote on that one.
Yeah. So, but let's talk about the Orioles a little bit. It's all right. Dad, for Matt and I, it's easy to remember you dragging us to Memorial Stadium. I don't know if Matt remembers Memorial Stadium, but going to Memorial Stadium and growing up with the Orioles always on TV, even if we don't pay for it. How did your dad pass the Orioles down to you this way too?
My dad, when I was born, my dad was already older. I think he was in his 40s. So we would play catch every day. And then after his work, and baseball just became part of our relationship. And back then, it's interesting when I think about it, we couldn't afford box seats to go to Orioles games, and those were the best seats, and those were $4 a piece. Think about that, $4 for box seats. And we couldn't afford that, but we sat in the upper deck, and that's when I really started to fall in love with watching a game from the upper deck area. And my dad taught me baseball from a young age, and it became part of our relationship, and I thought it was valuable enough and meaningful enough to pass it along to you guys at the same time.
I watched Field of Dreams with Kelly earlier today, just before this, and in Fenway.
Josh is all on the field today, tonight. All the emotions. Okay, go ahead.
We were hanging out, and I put it on in the background, thinking it'd be on the background, and then Kelly admitted she's never seen it. So then we sat there and watched the whole thing. But my point is,
I can't get the last scene out of my head ever. It's a tearjerker at the end.
Yeah, but my point here is they go to Fenway for a game. And yes, they purchase, this is,
I think you're thinking of the movie Fever Pitch, but
and this is ahead. I think this is like 1990, 1991. They buy two beers, two hot dogs. Do you know what the total was?
Hey, the Orioles have the new bargain price. It's probably the same as the new Orioles bargain price.
I'd say $8.
$7 was the total.
There you go.
So it's definitely world. Things have changed financially there.
That's a cup of water at the bargain stand now, $7.
Now, yeah. I remember going to games at Memorial Stadium in the bleachers out, and I believe it was right field, and where you had just straight like high school bleachers. Matt, do you remember going to Memorial Stadium?
No, not really. My first remembrance is really the upper deck at Camden Yards.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the upper deck at Camden Yards is a whole lot better than those bleachers.
Yeah. So, yes, they were metal bleachers. Well,
and I like how, Dad, I appreciate this, framing life on the upper deck as a lifestyle choice that we have chosen, as if we could sit in the box seats, but we choose to sit in the upper deck because they are the nicer seats.
Yeah. I think we would.
I'm with you.
I think
we would. Whatever helps us sleep at night. Yeah, I agree.
Oh, no. No. I tell you what, if you gave me box seats or the upper deck seats in like 336, I'd take 336 any day.
As long as you're in those lower rows, you can see the ball come off the bat better than anywhere else.
Yeah.
I don't want to be judgmental here, but I would argue the quality of the people around us, you get some fun people up there in the upper deck in 336, more so than I think you would get in the box seats.
Maybe
my first game ever in my life was with my dad. It was, I believe, May 8th, 1966, and that's the game that Frank Robinson hit a home run out of Memorial Stadium. The only one that's ever done that there.
And who did he hit that home run off of?
What's that?
Who did he hit the home run off of?
Louis Tiant.
Yeah. Rip, right? He recently passed away, right?
Yeah, he did. He did, yeah.
Now, Chris, did you see that Chris Sale did that nice tribute to him in his spring training game?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he did his wind up.
Did he look the other way?
Yeah, look the other way.
Yeah, cool. Amazing pitcher, yeah.
Man, the only cool thing Chris Sale's ever done, in my opinion, but...
Yes.
So why then was baseball then so important to kind of push his obsession onto Matt and I? And do you think it was focused more on so much on the Orioles because we didn't have a football team as kids?
Yeah, I think that was... Yeah, I think so. And again, I mean, out of all the sports, what sport is the easiest to work with your kids? It's baseball. All you need is a glove and a ball. You don't need any other equipment, you know? I mean, in football, you're taking all this equipment. We never got it. I wasn't about to play lacrosse or anything like that with you guys. Soccer was too boring to me. And baseball, to me, was exciting. And you didn't have to invest a lot of money in that sport in reality. You know, and I think that's the initial upbringing, I guess. But over time, what I value about going to baseball games with you guys is we can talk, and we can talk in a very easy flowing conversation without politics coming into play, without all the other issues coming into play, because we all have different views now as adults, and baseball is that kind of thing that kind of gives us an even playing field to have really good conversations about where we are in life, what are our families doing. And it just is it's a peaceful environment to go to. I mean, how could you complain about sitting in the upper deck of Camden Yards with that view and not just want to be at peace with everybody,
except for Yankee fans. Thank you. Because we can get into this. You have a history there with Yankee fans in upper deck. But you're talking about watching baseball pre-pitch clock, it sounds like.
Yes.
Now everything's been sped up.
And, everybody's spoiled now because when I was growing up, there was only games on Sunday, maybe Sunday afternoon, and that was it. You didn't have games, you know. And I hate to say it, but it was a great time to listen to Chuck Thompson, Bill O'Donnell on the radio. You know, I remember staying up as a kid, 11:30 on the for West Coast games. It was great. It was great.
Yeah.
Now what makes us different than a lot of those other people who are just catching the ball game? Do we watch it differently than other people, do you think? That it's more...
Oh, and Josh, and you framed this as kind of a unique thing about our family. I think baseball, though, is... I'm reading that Earl Weaver book by John Miller, enjoying the heck out of it.
No, it's a great book.
Yeah, and he talked about how Earl Weaver growing up and his dad was into baseball, his uncle going to baseball games. I think there is something about father, son. I mean, you watched the freaking Field of Dreams, right? Which is about that very idea. Something about the sport of baseball specifically that is very intriguing to this kind of father-son relationship. So I think in that way, it's not unique in that a father passion on the love of baseball, right?
I remember it had to be in the 90s, being in high school, and friends not wanting to come over depending on how the Orioles were playing that day because of what they were walking into in our house. So I remember friends saying, well, no, let's not go because the Orioles just lost. Or checking in on the Orioles when we came in to see how things were going and to see what type of mood dad would be in.
Oh, man, you made me.
That's how it was.
The Orioles lost.
I have a distinct memory of a friend telling me at our house, well, the Orioles must have lost today.
Oh my goodness. In reference
to something you said.
Oh, my goodness.
Let the record show our father was not in any way abusive, win or lose with the Orioles, okay?
No.
Despite the way this is being framed. But you mentioned also in the opening, Josh, the whether we'd watch it without paying for it or not, and going back to the old HTS. Well, that's a family tradition that still continues to this day, finding ways to watch the Orioles without paying for it.
Yeah.
So that's a tradition that continues.
Dad's the one that started, hey, we got to get around these stupid blackouts.
Yeah.
Or somehow
we're still fighting those blackouts.
Right. Somehow you figured out that we could get the game in black and white on HTS without paying for HTS and no sound. We'd have to turn the radio on.
There you go.
But it's still better than just watch, because what he grew up with, one game a week on a Sunday, to him, that was is still better.
Well, and I remember that old TV had the little tracking buttons were broken, so you had to use a pen. And I always thought, well, it's the only TV in America where the tracking buttons are the most used buttons. And it was because you'd have to press and hold them so long to get the lines to clear so we could watch the baseball game.
Yeah, but... Let me have a question for an author's question out to Dad. When you raise someone to be Oriole fans, now you in your youth, and as a young man, you saw some winning teams. You saw some World Series teams. Now, when I was born in 1983, December of 1983, which means I did not get to physically see, though I may have existed, I did not get to see an Orioles World Series win. And I'm still waiting to see an Orioles World Series win. Usually, fandom is in some way tied to team success and winning. What if I told you in 1983 that you're going to raise your kids to be Orioles fans, and they will never get to see a World Series?
Yeah, incredible.
And they'll be 41 and still haven't seen a World Series.
I know. That just blows me away. I mean, yeah, I grew up in 1966. We beat the Dodgers 4 straight. Then you had those amazing years like 79, 80, 81. I mean, no, I'm sorry, 69, 70, 71. All those years were just incredible years. Yeah. They were just incredible. I mean, when you have Frank and Brooks Robinson, Boog, I mean, and the pitching, yeah, it was just, and Earl Weaver managing, whatever. Yeah, it was great coming along.
Yeah, I tell people that falling in love with the Orioles at the age 8 or 9, right when they lose 21 straight to start a season and then have a disappointing season that ends with a pitcher stepping on a nail and missing the playoffs, should have set me up for what life would be like as an Oriole fan.
Yeah, it's been a long, long road.
Yeah, we had a little good run in the mid-90s there. Well,
and even then, when we get close, we get a ball stolen by a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
There you go. Yes, so. It's just... cements our view of the Yankees at that point.
Yes. Matt, do you find it different now raising Silas to be an Oriole fan, especially when you're outside of Baltimore?
Yeah, this is challenging, especially because we're in Braves country and they have a successful baseball team. And so certainly being raised to be a baseball fan. And I think at this age too, and you remember, Josh, when you were a kid at seven, you're just trying to nurture like a fan of being a fan of the sport. And yes, you watch the Orioles, roots for the Orioles, but you also just want to be a fan of baseball too. So I'm okay with them doing a little, I want to be a National League thing. Now he's not doing some nonsense I've seen on your side where you might start a game with the Orioles shirt, then switch over to a Braves shirt.
Well, that's my relationship with the stepson is way more complicated.
Yeah, yours is more complicated.
Where there's mine's other families involved and stuff. So
yeah, no. So we're still carrying on the tradition, and he sees like Silas sees, right? It's not just me. Like Silas understands this is like we go to the game with Uncle Josh and with Pop Pop. Like this is a kind of a family affair, and obviously, like he wants to be a part of that. He wants to be kind of a part of this tradition. He always wants to go to the game, to the games with us. I mean, he wants to sit in here and do the podcast with us.
yes.
Pre-podcast, by the way, last time when he was on and didn't say a word, he was like, before the show, he was like, Dad, you never let me talk when I come on the podcast. I was like, Sass, I'll give you every opportunity to talk. He said they never let him talk. Anyway, so yeah, it's a little bit weird because we can't go to as many games at Camden Yards like that you and I went to growing up. And that's, I think, I don't know, Josh, like how much of it and Dad talked really eloquently about going to Camden Yards and sitting at the baseball game and hanging out. And we spent so much of our youth there. And we don't have that same thing because we're not going to those games because we don't live in Baltimore. And so I wonder how much we're missing out on that. But yeah, I don't know.
I always look at Camden Yards almost like a church that when I lived in Maryland, it was a place of peace after dealing with all of the traffic of DC and Baltimore and all that there was peace there. And I'll always remember when going through the divorce of going there and it was like nothing else mattered. That when you're in that stadium, it's just about what's going on the field. So I've always appreciated going to the games because of that.
Yeah, there is something really special about going because – It's that one place that's associated too with our. I mean, how many places from childhood do we go back and revisit and make, you know, the return journey to once, twice, multiple times a year? There aren't those places that exist, and this beautiful social place where you can gather around with all the other people who kind of share this same stupid passion for the stupid team that we have. Yeah, it's right. A pretty special thing to go into Camden Yards. It doesn't hurt that Camden Yards is also a freaking beautiful stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that definitely helps. I wrote down, I know I told you guys only 20 minutes max.
Yeah.
So I did write down a few questions. Do you remember?
I should have started with this, not when we get up to the 20-minute mark. But okay, go ahead.
There needed to be a little intro and a little setup.
A little intro. Okay. Go ahead with your questions.
All right. Do you know, is there a biggest Orioles argument or debate that we've had? Because we started Section 336 kind of because we would always just talk Orioles and argue Orioles. So we started the Section 336 podcast. Is there one that still comes up or that came up for a long, long time?
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of them. The first one that jumps to my mind is Dad and I were we had Brian a disagreement Roberts. About a second baseman. Brian Jerry Roberts. Hairston Jr.
Brian Roberts.
Jerry Hairston Jr. guy. Dad was a Brian Roberts guy, and I think we saw how that worked out. What? One of those guys has a World Series ring. The other one does not. Mm-hmm. I think Jerry Hairston Jr. went to the Yankees, if my memory serves me right, and got a
World
Series ring. That's how he got it.
Yeah.
And the one that came to mind with me is just the constant hope that we had for this team when other people didn't, and your obsession with Brian Mattis. That he would be a legit starter for this team.
Well, it wasn't just Brian Roberts. I mean, it wasn't Brian Mattis. It was that whole crop of young pitchers that we had coming up. Throw Brad Bergeson.
Yes, the cavalry. But you were obsessed over Brian Mattis. That he was the one that was going to change the game.
Yeah, and that started a long tradition of being obsessed with pitchers who were going to change the game. Then came Dylan Bundy. Then came Jake Arrieta was before Dylan Bundy, and then came Dylan Bundy. Then came Kevin Gausman. A long line of Oral pitchers. Who didn't work out.
Jake Arrieta.
Who was the pitcher
from Canada, right? Who turned out to be a hitter after he couldn't pitch. Who's that guy? Do you guys recall him?
For the Orioles?
Not. Yeah. No, I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay.
I vaguely remember that story, and now I can't. I don't know who it is.
Is there a moment? What, as we've been fans and we go to a lot of games together, watch all the games together. When the games are on, we text each other. Even today, we were texting each other a bunch, and I was telling Kelly, "It's because opening day is tomorrow. We're all ready for baseball."
Yeah,
but Adam Loewen, that's the guy. Adam Loewen. Okay, sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
There you go. Yeah,
there it is. Yeah.
Yes. Is there, if not argument, is there a, what are some of your favorite moments of us watching the Orioles together, both good and bad? Because there's been way more bad.
Definitely that last game of the year.
In 2011?
Yeah, with Boston.
We were still a losing team.
Yeah, remember we walked out and then came back in after Davis got a double?
Yeah.
Yep.
And we were in that lower section, dancing down the aisles like we just won a playoff series.
Yeah. That's right, man. Like the World Series.
Right. When all we did was knock out Mike O'Mara's Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a positive experience that, and we can talk about some of the playoffs. I mean, it's easy to go to the Delman Young game where that's the loudest I think any of us have ever heard the stadium,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. And that's one of those highlights, yeah, that gets you goosebumps watching back. Still.
Yeah, the a negative I remember is it was, I think Bert was there too, me, you, Bert, Josh, that watching that Blue Jays Zach Britton game.
You mean the Jimenez game?
Yeah, the Jimenez game. Could have been Zach Britton coming in.
Yes.
But Jimenez came in and gave up the home run.
Yeah, when Zach Britton,
the best pitcher in the world at that point, didn't even come in to pitch. We were watching that at the basement of Dad's house.
Yeah, must-win playoff game. At the versus the Blue Jays, and we didn't use our closer.
Yeah,
try to save them.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, those are definitely also
one of those games at Camden Yards where we were all located, and that's when Tommy Hunter was going to be our closer.
And
he gave a fastball to Cabrera, and it was over. The game was over. Hit it right out.
I feel like I remember many of those.
Yes, that's true.
Well, yeah, now Brian Baker has come and reincarnated to kind of do the same thing. So
only with Grand Slams.
The only with Grand Slams.
He walks the bases loaded, then he hits the guy. Then he lets the guy hit the home run.
Yeah. Now, when you look
Matt
at this
Wieter's
season,
first game was also one of my highlights too. Anyway, go ahead.
We did have a party for Matt Wieter's first game because we thought Matt Wieters would change the organization.
And he hit a triple on his first at bat. The first guy up, I remember, tried to put down a bunt, tried to put a fast one on our rookie. He picked it up and threw him on it first. Then he hit a triple with his first hit. And, the rest is history. And we won four World Series, Matt Wieters leading the way.
It's not too hard to get us excited and hopeful for this team.
Yeah, there was a lot of those moments where it just took a little bit.
Yes. We drank the orange Kool-Aid. Wore the orange glasses. We believed every year, how much we'd get there,
and we still do.
We still do. And going into this season, what for me, I look at this season and I wish I was one of these kids like Silas, falling in love with the Orioles now, because it seems like everything for the Orioles this season is coming up right, outside of injury issues. But it seems like there's a team to be fun team to root for right now.
What are you excited about now?
Now,
I'll tell you what. When I look at the starting pitcher and the age of these guys, that's a real concern. A real concern.
Our team is really interesting. If you go around our infield, you see guys 21, 23, 22. And then a lot of young players in the outfield too, and Kowser and Kerstedt. Yes. And then you go to the starting rotation. And, I mean, Cedric Mullins seems like an old guy in the outfield, right, being 31 or whatever he is. And then you go and Dean Kramer's 30, and he looks like a young gun compared to everyone else in their mid-30s to 40s.
Well, yeah, the average age of our offense is 24, and the average age of our pitching rotation is like 35.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. So, I think that should cause someone pause going into the season.
All right, so what then give me a positive. What's one reason people should pay attention and start cheering on the Orioles now?
Well, you have that whole core of youth. You have Adley Rutschman, Jackson Holliday, Gunnar Henderson, who showed last year. He was, you know, top three player in the American League. You have Jordan Westberg, Colton Cowser. You have the guys who came up in the last 2 years, 2 and 3 years, and they're going to be with the team for a while, and this offense is going to be great. And so we have every reason to be optimistic in that respect. And at some point, I think this will pay off. Not yet. We have new ownership, which I think is going to be a good thing. We're still kind of waiting for that shoe to drop, but we have new ownership, an owner who loves Baltimore, an owner who is willing to invest in the team. And so I think we're going to be good for quite a while.
And I think the older pitchers, if they you know, burn out by July, then you got some good pitchers who are injured coming back during the summer months. There's the benefit there. You got Bradish coming back, right? Wells. So you got some real help. And I do believe we'll have Crockett on our team by the end of July.
He wants to come and do bold predictions. We'll do bold predictions another day, but I'm not ready for bold predictions here.
Yeah, I know. He gave us play-by-play text while he was listening to Section 336 today.
He's ready for David Crockett to join. But also we have, I think, a general manager, and someone might, you know, have issues with Mike Elias, but a guy who obviously knows how to identify talent, a guy who's built up the farm system, who's invested in our international players. So it seems like he's building up this franchise, not just to win now. He's setting up this franchise in a way that they're going to be successful for a long time. His goal is not just to, I mean, he said this, is not just to win a World Series this year, much to my chagrin. His goal is to set up to be a continually winning franchise. And I think has the building blocks in place to do that. So yeah, if you're Silas, this is a good time to join. But again, Dad probably thought after the 1983 World Series, this is a great time to raise my kids to be Orioles fans.
Yeah.
But
you just never know in sports.
I also Cal Ripken was a rookie,
Yeah. I also think it's easier than ever to pay attention to the Orioles and watch games and see highlights. Yeah. That we didn't have
but
as kids.
Too easy.
Yeah, you can be a lazy fan. It's definitely, you don't have to make the commitment as much. Sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, I told you guys 20 minutes, so we can close it there. I hope
you had more questions. How many questions did you get through of your questions?
Not many, but I don't care. It's all right. We can do it another time, especially if the Orioles continue to play well. But I just wanted to kind of give a glimpse into our family for the Michael Mara Show listeners. I've been with the Michael Mara Show for almost a year. I think I'm like 2 weeks away from a year. So I thought it'd be cool to let him in on our family a little bit more as baseball season starts.
Is Michael Mara going to do a Boston episode to counteract our Orioles episode?
No. No, I don't think so.
Is this in any way a dig to get at his Boston Red Sox by putting more Orioles stuff on his
He did tell me today that the Red Sox will be winning the World Series.
Oh, he's already pronounced it.
And I laughed.
Okay.
Yeah, did you see the manager for Boston made Devers the DH? He can't be too happy.
Yes. Yep. Already clubhouse issues.
Yeah.
So. Devers is a company man. He'll get in line.
Oh yeah.
All right. So I'm going to close it there. Thank you guys.
Yeah, this is fun.
All right. Big day tomorrow. O's and Terps.
That's right.
And there you have it. My dad and my brother, thanks to Matt and John for coming on. And I hope you guys enjoyed a little glimpse into my family, because being an Orioles fan, it's not easy. We've had lots of losing, including 14 straight losing seasons recently. But for the Soroka family, it's never been an option. It's tradition, it's loyalty, and it's our family. So thanks for listening to my family. Learn a little bit about my story as an Oriole fan, and it's baseball season, so go O's.
Something magic happens on your radio. You make the magic happen, the magic of Orioles baseball. When the game is close and the O's are hot, there's a thundering roar from 34 to give it all they've got. And you never know who's gonna hear the call? Every game has a different start on WFBR. The magic of Oreo baseball. When we score on the runs, nothing could be more exciting. Nothing could be more fun. There's a love affair between you and the team. You're the reason we win when we win, and you know what the magic means. Magic happens.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.